But first, the latest on the situation between India and Bangladesh, with Dhaka now reacting after India's red flag. Dhaka has justified the Hindu priest's arrest in the country. And Dhaka says that he was held in Bangladesh on specific charges. They say that the arrest has been misconstrued by some. They say that it is the government of Bangladesh is committed to upholding the harmony of the country. Let's go across to Mohammad Ghazali, who's got more details on this. Ghazali, what are the main points mentioned by the Bangladesh government in their response quite clearly to what the External Affairs Ministry said today?
Yeah, within hours after the Indian External Affairs Ministry condemned the action against the priest who was arrested there, the Bangladeshi Foreign Affairs Ministry has clearly said that the judiciary is independent, the charges probe against him will have no interference from the government or other forces. They also maintain in the press release that there are other divisive forces, clearly hinting towards that how the media is now playing up as if there is a division among the within the society on religious lines. But he says that the government of Bangladesh cites the Durga Puja, which was held last month, that how it was very peaceful. So that is why there is no discrimination against the minorities. But at the end of the press statement, they have also mentioned an incident which happened perhaps today, that a lawyer, a public prosecutor, was killed outside the court when perhaps the priest was taken back from the court to the jail when he was denied the bail by the court. After that, an assistant public prosecutor was also killed outside the court, and multiple reports are suggesting that perhaps he was killed by the supporters of the priest who had gathered there. But there has been no evidence. Even in the press statement, the word being used by the Foreign Affairs Ministry is that the priest has been booked under its specific charges. Other media reports suggest that last month, when he was leading an agitation against the atrocities on minorities, there was an insult to the Bangladeshi flag under the charges of which he has been booked. But in this press statement, the External Affairs Ministry of Bangladesh doesn't clearly specify that what are the charges, what is the crime under which the priest has been arrested.
In fact, the statement that they have is, and I quote, "It is with utter dismay and a deep sense of hurt that the government of Bangladesh notes that the arrest of Sri Chinmoy Krishna Das has been misconstrued by certain quarters, since Sri Chinmoy Krishna Das has been arrested on specific charges, but as you mentioned, those charges aren't met." Ghazali, thank you very much for being with us. What we're going to do now is, and that is the Bangladesh statement that's just come in. They say, and I will add, the government of Bangladesh maintains that such unfounded statements not only misrepresent facts, but also stand contrary to the spirit of friendship and understanding between the two neighboring countries. I think this paragraph in itself reflects the extremely troubling, I would say, state of relations between New Delhi and Dhaka since Sheikh Hasina was removed as Bangladeshi Prime Minister. But what's this all about? We've got this report.
As a court in Chittagong rejected the bail plea of Hindu priest Chinmoy Krishna Das, Brahmachari, across the border, the BJP in West Bengal protested outside the Legislative Assembly in Kolkata. Chinmoy Krishna Das has been at the forefront of the movement to protect minorities, mainly Hindus, in Bangladesh as radical Islamic forces attack minorities.
Radical forces are working in Bangladesh. I appeal all the Hindus around the world should come together and protect the existence of Hindus in Bangladesh. It's a not only the protest, it's our fight for survival of the Hindus in Bangladesh.
India expressed deep concern, saying denial of bail came after attacks on Hindus. Extremists are attacking Hindus and other minorities in Bangladesh. Vandalism and desecration of deities and temples is happening in Bangladesh. Unfortunate that perpetrators of these incidents still remain at large. Chinmoy Krishna Das was arrested in Dhaka and taken to Chattogram, where he was produced before the Chittagong Sessions Judge Court after being charged under what has been termed as false sedition charges by human rights groups.
Mr. Chinmoy demand the different discrimination, eight points demand. It is the main discrimination in prevailing in Bangladesh on the minority people. He is the custody of detective branch. Yesterday, he is arrested from Dhaka airport. We Bangladesh Hindu Buddha Christian Unity Council condemned the arrest of Chinmoy Krishna. We demand his immediate release from his from the custody. It is his detention. It is illegal.
Radharaman Das, who has been advocating for Chinmoy Krishna Das's release, says Hindu groups protesting against the monk's arrest were also attacked.
Chinmoy Krishna Das Prabhu has become the face of Bangladeshi protest. We know that for last more than 100 days now, the minorities of Bangladesh has been attacked. You know, their women's getting raped and, you know, kidnapped. In this situation, the Bangladeshi minorities, they gathered together, and Chinmay Krishna Das became the face of the protest. And we know that the Bangladeshi government is trying to somehow indict different people who have become the face of the protest.
Bangladesh has spiraled into a situation of attacks on minorities since the ouster of former Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina. And critics of the interim government under Mohammad Yunus have accused him of paying lip service only when it comes to the safety and security of minorities. International attention is also now focused on the situation in Bangladesh, and in neighboring West Bengal, protests have been planned along the border with Bangladesh to draw attention to the plight of Hindus in the country. With cameraperson G.D. Shankar in Kolkata, Saurabh Gupta, NDTV.
All right, well, joining us now, Taufik Imroz Khalidi, Managing Editor and Editor-in-Chief, Managing Director and Editor-in-Chief of BD News 24, my former colleague Mondeepa Banerjee, Pinak Ranjan Chakravarti, former High Commissioner of India to Dhaka, Mohammad Kamruzaman, Senior Journalist with TRT World, is also an analyst, and I'll be joined by Harshvardhan Shringla, the former Foreign Secretary of India and India's G20 Sherpa, later on this program. Firstly, to you, Taufik Imroz Khalidi, what are the specific charges that you are aware of against Sri Chinmoy Krishna Das? And isn't it strange that this press statement wouldn't have mention of any of that?
It is a bit strange, you know. I think your reporter has already mentioned that. Let me not repeat that. Actually, the problem with this government is it's very difficult to understand who decides and who is in charge of this government. Definitely, Professor Yunus is not in control of everything. There are all kinds of elements, you know, from ultra-right to ultra-left. And there are also these liberal elements, civil society elements, were liked by the West. Problem is, no one knows who decides. But clearly, this was a political decision on part of the government to arrest him. And at least two cabinet members have directly or indirectly defended this arrest.
Mohammad Kamruzaman, are you aware of what exactly the allegations are against this man?
Thank you very much. Actually, this man is very popular in Bangladesh among the Hindu people because of his role in the last, especially in the last couple.
We've lost that line with Kamruzaman. We'll try and get back to that in a little while from now. Ambassador Pinak Ranjan Chakravarti, I'm just going to read out one bit of the paragraph which the Bangladesh government has just released. Get your reaction. The government of Bangladesh maintains that such unfounded statements not only misrepresent facts, but also stand contrary to the spirit of friendship and understanding between two neighboring countries. You know, India and Bangladesh now exchanging diplomatic notes, you know, targeting one another. What does that say about the present state of the relationship between the two countries?
Well, obviously, it's going downhill. And I think and the Bangladeshi statement clearly has an element of, what shall we say, guilty consciousness. Because they have been, unable to halt these kind of attacks on various people, not just the minorities. You know, in the posh area of Gulshan the other day, an Awami League supporter was hacked to death. And it was captured on social media. So I think basically the loss of control over law and order is very apparent. And I don't know whether Swamiji's arrest has anything to do with, you know, they think that, you know, that he perhaps, I'm sorry to say this, but, you know, tomorrow we might hear that he's a raw agent. It's very possible that they will charge him with some kind of espionage. Now this, I believe it is sedition. I don't know what this sedition means. That the charges have not been made public is an indication that they have something to hide. And this is a political decision and a set-up job to arrest this man. He's not a violent man. He was just organizing the Hindus for their rights peacefully. I don't think he has indulged in any violence. But they have been attacked. Every time they have tried to organize, they have been attacked. The Islamists have been unleashed on them by this government, by the Yunus government.
Monudipa, how is this not a one-off at all? That right from the time when Sheikh Hasina ceased becoming prime minister, there have been a series of attacks, you know, allegations of rape, arson, murder, attacks against Hindus, other minorities as well. Could you just lay it out for us on what we've seen in Bangladesh in the last 3-odd months?
Well, I just know that early August, when Sheikh Hasina had to flee the country, after that, you know, there were attacks all over the country, even on minorities. There were attacks on Awami League workers, others, and, of course, Hindu minorities. And I recall that around the 8th or 9th of August, Muhammad Yunus actually made a statement of describing these attacks on minorities as heinous, and he went on to condemn them. After that, he also visited the Hindu community of Bangladesh at a local Kali temple in Dhaka, which is like a very important, it plays a very important role in the Hindu society out there. And so initially, it felt like Muhammad Yunus might just get his act right. But, you know, somebody mentioned loss of control. The problem is, who is in control in Dhaka? I think that is the question we need to ask. There are such competing forces at work, even within the interim government. There is your Hifazat, there's your Jamaat-e-Islami, and then there is, you know, Professor Yunus and a whole lot of other advisors who come from a variety of backgrounds, which are not necessarily friendly to the Hindus. And therefore, we have a situation like we have today. So when Professor Yunus stepped up and says that this situation is condemnable, in attacks on Hindus is not acceptable, so who is listening is the question. And then you have the whole issue of this Chinmoy Krishna Das also taking a very sort of positive step to try and raise Hindu consciousness, and that has obviously not gone down well with the interim government authorities.
Right.
And finally, just before I got on the show, last point that I want to make, you know, the point about how tomorrow this Chinmoy Krishna Das could be declared a raw agent seems very likely, because out in Silhet today, this evening, one Lieutenant General Jahangir Alam Chaudhary, who is apparently the advisor home, he has said that this whole trouble is being fueled from parties and forces within the country and outside. And I think we know who he's pointing at. Certainly, I mean, the whole fact that Sheikh Hasina is still in Delhi does not sit well with the interim government now, does it?
Mohammad Kamruzzaman, we've lost that line with you earlier on. Could you just share with us your knowledge of attacks on minorities in Bangladesh in the last 3 months?
Thank you very much for having me. Actually, this person now centering whom there is tense and unrest across the whole country, especially in Chittagong. Actually, he's very popular among the Hindu people because of his role for the rights of Hindu people. But he's also a little bit controversial here in Bangladesh, and critics are also claiming that. And I have also a video clip where this person, Chinmoy Krishna Das, said that in 2021 that ISKCON, when he was the leader of ISKCON at that time, that ISKCON established here in Bangladesh to prolong and protect the regime of Sheikh Hasina. So that's why people here are also critical to him because of his role in support of ousted Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina. However, the advisor or one of the advisors today asked the people to keep patience and also assured that everything will be investigated in a very proper way and justice will be ensured. And the sedition case that has been filed against Chinmoy Krishna Dash will be investigated in a very transparent way. So we are also expecting a very proper and transparent investigation. But now the situation in Chattogram is very volatile after the killing of a very young lawyer. And various local media reported that he was killed, the lawyer was killed by the supporters of Chinmoy. But what we see here in Bangladesh for many generations, Hindu and Muslims are like brothers and sisters. They share same food on the same table and even same plate. So the issue of the torturing on minority Hindu people is exaggerating, especially after the fall of Sheikh Hasina. And even just look in 2012 when Biswajit Dash, a Hindu young, was brutally murdered on broad daylight. But at that time, even the Hindu organizations who are now talking about the rights violation, they didn't play any significant role. So people are also confused. And even some Hindu leaders here, they also say that these issues, the Hindu torturing, is being used as a trump card to get political benefit of ousted Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina. Now, I think that proper investigation under the supervision of United Nations can be conducted here, and nothing should be exaggerated and nothing should be unjust.
Sure.
And the Professor Yunus government also should be very serious, because during the last student movement, even Hindu people played a very significant role, and Hindu Muslims side by side played and demonstrated against the autocratic regime of Sheikh Hasina. So people, communal people, communal harmony here, but a sudden unrest situation should be investigated.
Right. Governor Zaman, just hold on for one sec. I want to keep the strike rotating. I want to go back to Taufik Imroz Khalidi. Mr. Khalidi, who's in charge in Dhaka? And why has there been a continued breakdown of the police? Is the police united? Are they acting on the basis of different orders from different commanders? Who's in charge?
Police are still disorganized. Police force is still dysfunctional. I think they're also demoralized. Very recently, you know, the two top officers were replaced. They are police chief, national police chief, Inspector IGP was replaced suddenly, very unexpectedly. And also the Dhaka police chief. Both were retired police officers who retired years ago, had been enjoying their retirement, had brought back into service, which is very unusual, very rare in any disciplined or uniformed service. So, yeah, nothing is, you know, and there is very little, I mean, the police are not confident about themselves. You know, previously we have seen that police would go, would do whatever they needed to do, and they're not doing that. They're a bit, demoralized. Government has utterly failed on that front. That's the government, and also it's very difficult because, you know, in some cases, these young student leaders go and intervene and try to sort out things.
Right.
Well, Professor Yunus knows nothing about it. Yunus is supported and guided by two or three advisors who he feels comfortable with. And there are a few, and there are also, as I said earlier, there are quite a few others who are probably, they sound smarter, they look smarter, they're liked by the West, and they feel comfortable dealing with the West. But they do not have enough support within the government or the backers of the government.
All right.
And one thing that unites all of them is probably this anti-India rhetoric, starting from Yunus to everyone else.
I just want to go across
from day one, not till day one, right? Day minus two.
Mr. Khalidi, so that I can again keep the strike rotating, I wanted to go back to Ambassador Pinakaranjan Chakravarti. Mr. Chakravarti, what are the forces that can take advantage of the situation in Bangladesh? There are Islamist forces which work against both Bangladesh and India. There is a concern of foreign countries like China perhaps taking advantage of that situation. How is this lack of stability in Bangladesh of consequence, not just to Bangladesh, but across the region?
Well, the ultimate loser will be Bangladesh, because if it degenerates into chaos, then the people of Bangladesh will suffer. And I think foreign forces are taking advantage of the situation. We all know that this was a regime change operation run by the Americans. The International Republican Institute, which is a CIA front, had arranged all this. And it's not rocket science, and it's very well known now. And of course, the Pakistanis are very delighted that Hasina is out of power, because she had kept them at an arm's length. And they are back in the reckoning in terms of getting their things done in Bangladesh. China is more neutral in that sense. It's willing to do business with any government in Dhaka. And the Chinese have invited all the Islamist organization as a group to visit Beijing. So they are clearly cultivating the Islamists, hoping that they might come to power in some form or the other. So this is the situation at the moment. And I agree that there is disarray in terms of the law and order situation. Even the joint force of the army and the police are not very effective because every day the social media, today in the digital age and in the social media, puts out everything that the whole world can see. So we are concerned. I think India should be very concerned about the way Bangladesh is heading.
Monadipa, just the identity of Bangladesh itself, the fact that when Sheikh Hasina was replaced, you had statues of the founder of Bangladesh, Bangabandhu, destroyed. You've had so much violence. The entire identity of Bangladesh, the legacy of 1971, forgotten entirely. This is a new Bangladesh with, you know, a notion of national pride and identity which is fairly confused, some would suggest. And this isn't, it's not a pro-India or an anti-India sentiment. It's just a state of confusion. Could you reflect on that, please, on how what Bangladesh was just a year back, in fact, just a few months back, is fundamentally not the Bangladesh that exists as a nation now?
Well, maybe what Bangladesh was, or what we thought Bangladesh was a few years back, was maybe just something viewed through a slightly tinted glasses. Maybe it was happening and we didn't spot it. I'm sure our intelligence apparatus was fully aware of what's going on in Bangladesh. So I don't agree with you entirely that there's a complete discontinuity and Bangladesh has now emerged into this monstrous country or on the verge of turning. So there were problems and tensions in it before, which, we were so comfortable with Sheikh Hasina there in power, taking care of, the minorities as he did, really, and also ensuring that Bangladesh never became a safe haven for anti-India forces. We were so comfortable in India with that concept that we perhaps didn't look far enough or deep enough to figure out what was going on. The anti-India sentiment has been there for ages. I've been visiting Bangladesh for the last 15 years at least, and it's there on the ground. There's no missing it. What, sitting here in Kolkata, what worries me is what will it mean for the state of West Bengal with its extremely porous border with Bangladesh? The whole, Khagragaur blast, which there was this horrible blast in the Burdwan area, 2012, I think, 2nd of October, that triggered this huge situation where we discovered that absolutely fundamentalist, extremist outfits from Bangladesh had set up shop over here, the JMB. And that led to a discovery of cells across the state and beyond. So with a porous border, with Islamist forces in Bangladesh on the rise, it would seem, West Bengal also really needs to worry about what's happening on the Indo-Bangladesh border.
Well, lots to worry about over there as this relationship between Dhaka and New Delhi appears to be plummeting. That is terrible news, absolutely. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us. A little while earlier, I spoke to Harshvardhan Shingla, India's G20 Sherpa, former Foreign Secretary of India and also a former High Commissioner to Dhaka. This is just before this news has come in, this reaction, this very strong one, a press release from the government of Bangladesh on the External Affairs Ministry of India statement, but let's listen in. Well, the situation in Bangladesh clearly a matter of grave concern for both countries. We are now joined by a very special guest, Harshvardhan Shringla, India's G20 Sherpa. He's also been the Foreign Secretary of India and has served in Dhaka as our High Commissioner. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us. In a statement a little while back, the External Affairs Ministry says that they are deeply concerned at the arrest and denial of bail to Sri Chinmay Krishna Das. How does this episode mark the latest concern that India has as far as attacks or justice being denied to minorities in Bangladesh is concerned?
Thank you, Vishnu. Over the past 3 to 4 months since the interim administration has been in power in Bangladesh, we have seen a number of attacks on minorities, particularly Hindus, across the country. There have been a number of incidents that have been noted. The various spokespersons for the interim administration and others who are sympathetic to the current administration have been saying that these incidents are not systemic or egregious. They are isolated incidents. But what really is emerging is a pattern of intolerance, which is eroding the secular fabric that was envisaged originally in Bangladesh in 1971 and continued to be part of Bangladesh's constitution over a period of time. So obviously there is concern, with regard to not only the latest incident that you're referring to, but also past incidents where various members of the minority community, especially Hindus, have been targeted. And here in this particular case, of course, this seems to be an extrajudicial activity, one that, should be very, very roundly condemned, but also I think there should be recourse. And as the Ministry of External Affairs has very correctly pointed out, instead of bringing to book those perpetrators of violence against minorities, you're actually going and arresting someone who is using peaceful means to voice certain concerns that are already out there, on the table.
And I think the concern in this particular case is the accusation, the allegation of treason. Treason by a person who apparently was trying to suggest that there are protests against attacks on minorities. And the statement of the External Affairs Ministry also says there have been multiple attacks on Hindus and other minorities by extremist elements in Bangladesh. What is your overall sense in where this country is going?
Well, I mean, there is a sense that, those who have benefited most from the fall of Sheikh Hasina's government have been Islamists, have been more radical elements, which have, been part of the political and social landscape of Bangladesh. Not only the Jamaat-e-Islami, but organizations like the Hizb ut-Tahrir, the Jamaat-e-Mujahideen Bangladesh, the Hizbul Ansar, elements that identify with Al-Qaeda, the ISIS, elements that, look at this as an opportunity to achieve their aims of establishing an Islamic caliphate in Bangladesh, and will use any means possible to try and achieve their aims. And I think that is the concern, that you're seeing a sort of a slippery slope towards more radicalism, fundamentalism, and essentially many of these elements taking control of the reins of power directly or indirectly. The interim administration in its own way, headed by Professor Yunus, I think has tried to be fair in some senses, but clearly, some of these organizations have infiltrated the administration. They're very influential, and they've filled in the vacuum left by the Awami League and the Sheikh Hasina government very effectively. And I would say in many senses also in an insidious way to take over both the institutions that influence thought and opinion, such as the media, educational institutions, universities, etc., as well as to some extent influence those in power in how they should conduct themselves. And here you see as the situation deteriorates, there is very little that the interim administration is doing or has to say about, this deteriorating law and order situation, deteriorating a situation with regard to minorities, the growing intolerance that you see in society, and as I said, the erosion of the social fabric, which is so important, in Bangladesh, for Bangladesh's polity and society.
Where does that leave India's relations with Dhaka, which were arguably our closest relationship just a few months back in the region?
So early on in the game, I had said that India's two major concerns would be one, that terrorism and extremism should not, be a cross-border exercise at our, expense, which should not be detrimental to India's core security interests, especially in northeastern India. And the second should be that, attacks on minorities, especially Hindus, should not be allowed and should be certainly, controlled or brought under control by the interim administration to avoid a situation where India is forced to comment take up with the government of Bangladesh. Unfortunately, that seems to be the case. And I think unless these two issues are kept in check, I think we will see more of, comments of this nature and more, I think, proactivism on the Indian side to deal with what would be a very challenging situation for the government of India.
Ambassador Shingla, the fact is that we also have very limited consular services now available. To think that we are barely able to process visas other than, in an emergency situation for Bangladeshis looking to come to our country, sort of gives you an idea of how serious the situation is. In terms of the overall relationship that we now have with Bangladesh, where would you place it?
Well, I think in many senses, Government of India has been quite, has held its opinions on the situation for quite some time, has not commented or made any references to what would be an internal situation in Bangladesh. But at the same time, obviously, the situation is also not what it used to be. There is very little activity from the point of view of people-to-people movement and contacts, cultural exchanges, trade and economic exchanges. And so it's a situation that is, more like a holding operation, but not one that is adversarial. But obviously, if, as I said, these two quotes are, I think, on the top of India's agenda, I would suppose they should be on the top of India's agenda, are not sort of controlled or taken into account by the interim administration and by those who control the reins of power today in Bangladesh, I'm afraid the situation could then deteriorate at a bilateral level.
All right, Ambassador Shingla, very important words over there, as the situation with Bangladesh appears to be much more tense, to say the least, with attacks on minority members in that country. Thank you very much, sir, for sharing your views. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.